Hello everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. It's 4:30 p.m. Eastern on the 13th of September, 2020. Billy Meyer is an 83-year-old man who lives in a place that we call Hinterschmidt-Rudi. Actually, his actual age is much older than that. He's more like at least 160 years old because of the time he spent with Svoth when they were going on these time traveling trips. I believe Billy spent 61 years in the Mediterranean, and the time frame was something like 2,500 years ago. So this was in a contact report that we covered recently, and I think it was contact report 748, maybe? I think so, yeah. And it was quite interesting. Billy grew up in Bulach, Switzerland, which is farther north, in a place called the Glatt Valley. He lived at 1253 Niter Flocks near the Eichenmoser and Bruder Mountains and close to a village called Bulach. In right around 1943-1944, he started to get telepathic messages from a man named Svoth, who was an extraterrestrial human from a star system called the Pleiaren star system, not the Pleiadian, but the Pleiaren star system, which is something like 80 light years beyond our Pleiades. And the people there live on a world called Era, which is one of three worlds that was terraformed about 230,000 years ago. A group of people, thousands of people, were led by a man named Asael, who left Lyra Vega, and he had the title of Ishwish, or King of Wisdom, and they brought hundreds of ships out of Lyra Vega. They were escaping a tyranny that existed there, or was starting to come into place there, as well as wars. The Lyrians were very warlike, and they would build their civilization up to a very high level, and then there would be a war, and it would tear things down. And another thing that adversely affected the Lyrians is there was a destroyer comet that would come through their system periodically. And again, it would cause such damage, it would literally take them back to a more primitive state of existence, and then they have to build their civilization up again. So these people from Lyra Vega escaped, and they came to a star system they called the Pleiaren star system, and there were three planets that they terraformed, one of them called Era. Era is very Earth-like. It's the current home of the people that Billy has had contact with, the man named Svoth, Quetzal, Ptah, Semyase, to name a few. There are others certainly, and the other big contact that Billy had was with a woman named Asket, who's from the Tao universe. Billy's contacts with Svoth were about 11 years, and from about 1943 or 42 to about 1953. And during that time, evidently, Billy and Svoth took many of these trips in time, and Billy had to go through these procedures, these 18-day hydrotherapeutic procedures that would age regress him, I guess, and bring him back to being a 4 or 5 year old boy. He would leave as a 4 or 5 year old boy, and then him and Svoth would spend something like 60 plus years at a given place. I don't know how they could do that or why they would do that, but they must have been pretty interesting, whatever they were doing. And I believe at one point, Billy went 272 million years into the past. I assume he was viewing dinosaurs at that time. I have no idea. It's all there in Contact Report 748. Take a listen, take a read, however you want to get the information. But one of the interesting things that Sloth told Billy is that Billy's Vorgängers, or predecessor personalities, included Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And these people taught an ancient universal teaching called the Teaching of the Spirit, which has certain laws in it. These are the laws of nature, the laws of the universe. These are creational natural laws. And the first one of these is love, not romantic love, but a genuine kind of brotherly love. We're told that love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love, and love will forever be the purpose of our existence. The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. So this is one of the creational natural laws. We should try to practice this kind of love. It's very, in some ways, it's neutral, and it's always very stable, and it's influenced by feeling and not emotion. And there's a difference between the feelings and the emotion. For example, emotions are triggered and can lead to murder and manslaughter, where feelings grow out of the thoughts. And one of the functions of feelings are to simplify things. Life can be very complicated, situations can be very complicated, but a feeling can just summarize things. And also the feelings help to discharge the intensity of the thoughts. The thoughts can become too intense, and they can lead to confusion sometimes. So the feelings help discharge the thoughts, and then that's part of the point of the feelings. So, and then the feeling again is related to love more so than emotion. Emotions can be very, very damaging. The second creational natural law, one of the creational natural laws that we talk about a lot, is a striving. Striving means to continue to work. The goal of the human life is to continually evolve the consciousness. And striving, the greatest power in every vase and every entity, is there to serve the striving. So striving gives you a sense of purpose in your life. It also gives you a sense of life. And if you don't continually strive, if you let yourself, for example, fall into too much just entertainment or too much relaxation, people get the impression that they can find happiness by pursuing stimulation. That's why they get involved in drugs. They get addicted to drugs, alcohol, food, that sort of thing. But really, the human being is designed to strive. That can be as simple as cleaning out your garage, simple as going to work out. It can be simple things related to hygiene. It can be whatever your day job is. Always continue to strive. That's really what your happiness depends on, is your willingness to strive. If you cut back on your striving, just be very, very careful. You know, there are times when you certainly will need rest or whatever, but it's good to stay focused and keep striving. Your sense of satisfaction, your sense of life, your sense of happiness all depends on your willingness to strive. There's another creational natural law called the law of harmony, which means we think in a neutral, positive way. We don't allow ourselves to become dominated by negative thoughts. We don't allow ourselves to become dominated by thoughts that are too positive. We want to stay neutral, positive, which means that you're confident, you're optimistic, you're relaxed, you're cheerful. As a rule, suffering comes from some form of wrong thinking, so incidents of suffering in the life are indicators that the law of harmony has been broken. The other and very important creational natural law is the law of system and order. So if you can kind of fit a structure over your life and try to do things at the same time or about the same time, it really has this kind of amazing thing. I just can't even explain it. It's almost like enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is something that's very helpful for the human being, being enthusiastic. Another thing that's very helpful for the human being is to follow a system and order, a structure in your life. Try to do things at the same time. I know sometimes we don't. And sometimes I might say there's a good reason why you shouldn't. But it's amazing how smoothly things can go if you can keep that structure in place. Anyway, so we were talking about the creational natural laws. We were talking about Billy's early life that it got extended into decades and decades and decades, even though, I mean, so you have to understand here what happens when Billy gets age regressed, when he spent 61 years in the Mediterranean of 2,500 years ago. So he's really a 60-year-old man. He gets age regressed back to a 5-year-old. And then he goes and talks to people, and people will say, boy, there's something unusual about that kid. He's just too smart. He's just too confident. It's just, you can imagine. There's a little bit of humor to be had there. So I was talking about the creational natural laws. I was talking about the law of harmony. One of the dangers, and I think it was much more prevalent in my life before I started studying this book so intensely. One of the big dangers is the circulation of rotating negative thoughts. They build up a momentum, and it's like a snowball going down a hill, and it's very hard to stop. And you can damage your psyche because the negative thoughts will lead to negative feelings, and the negative feelings affect the psyche. So you start to damage your material consciousness. The psyche regulates and looks after the thoughts and feelings of the material consciousness. So it's part of your brain. It's a part of your consciousness, and it's looking after your thoughts and feelings. When you keep having negative feelings, boom, it's like you're just pounding on your psyche. So on page 26 of The Might of Thoughts, it says, thus it happens that whoever, as a result of some sort of adverse circumstances, has negative thoughts, soon allows himself to be controlled by these, whereby the consciousness is negatively burdened. And that's when your psyche is starting to be negatively burdened by these negative thoughts. And correspondingly also creates the same kind of thoughts. So when the psyche is getting slammed by these negative feelings, it starts to create negative thoughts, which allows their might to prevail and influence the psyche in a negative and damaging way. So now your psyche is getting damaged. That's how, you know, the thoughts are so powerful. And we don't really realize how powerful they are. I've got hopefully I still have this up. It's something from Contact Report 39. And let me read this. This is incredible. Billy says, "Then the case is indeed clear. There's something else, however, that you should explain for everyone for the interest of our cause, namely the connections or certain connections with the age of the Earth human being. I already know about these things because Spoth informed me about them when I was a boy. Nevertheless, these things were never written down so others aren't oriented about them. I'm referring to the fact that the mental forces of every single human being are capable of raising or lowering the life force of others. So your thoughts, you can damage yourself, of course, with unhealthy thoughts, but you can also damage others." And I'm going to see if I can find some more. This is a very interesting contact report. Patas says, "Certainly, this question is of great importance, and I will give you information about that for everyone. The age of each life form is partially determined..." Ooh, sorry about that. "The age of each life form is partially determined by the external forces penetrating on them of a cosmic as well as environmental and nutritional nature, etc., as well as forces of other similar life forms. And to be sure, the genes play a dominant role. Because the thinking of a life form through the cooperation of the spirit produces an extremely logical, thus creation-based power that is released as high-frequency swinging waves. So when we're thinking, we produce these high-frequency swinging waves, which have tremendous power, and they can influence everything. The creation-based power penetrates into everything, truly into all material life forms and all matter, in order to influence them according to their type and form. Every life form has a lifespan in accordance with its genes and its level of life, including the human life forms on Earth. At the earliest times, when the human being of the Earth was produced by his or her indirect ancestors, his or her average life was reckoned at about 1,007 years of life. For he / she trained and informed by his or her progenitors, possessed an enormous level of knowledge and ability. So when these extraterrestrials were here, we were taught things which actually increased our lifespans, enhanced our life force. And we learned how to think correctly, which enhanced our life force. Unexpectedly, quickly, however, they fell to the religions with their erroneous teachings and thereby deprived of the true knowledge and the truth, and were deprived. Unexpectedly, quickly, however, they fell to the religions with their erroneous teachings and were thereby deprived of the true knowledge and the truth. So our religions are very damaging, and our thinking is so powerful that we can raise or lower the life force of others. And it stands to reason that we can also raise or lower our own life force. So on line 72 of Contact Report 39, "Thus, the more the development direction turns towards the truth again, the higher the average lifespan develops again for those, for through this, the altered genetic factors and other life-supporting factors are also regulated again, which were badly impaired over the course of tens of thousands of years." So if we continue to learn and if we continue to study this material, our life force increases, and, you know, 300, 400 years from now, our lifespans could start to increase dramatically. So our thoughts are said to radiate as tremendous forces. So it's so important to think healthy, to be neutral positive, as tremendous forces, to be equalized and balanced in your thinking. And go to your feelings. Examine your feelings. When you have a thought, did you have a bad feeling that resulted from it? Maybe it was a thought that wasn't healthy. You had a thought. Was there a good feeling that came after that thought? Maybe that was a healthy thought. All thoughts radiate as tremendous forces and encounter the other life forms, which draw these towards themselves like magnets. So if you're thinking good, healthy thoughts to your pets or whatever, your pets are staring at you, cats or dogs, these will draw your thoughts to them like magnets. Depending on the quality and whether they are negative, positive, or well-balanced, they produce powers of the same kind with corresponding effects in the life forms intercepting them. So positive forces produce positive forces, and accordingly negative forces produce negative forces, of course. Through the erroneous teachings and the other deceptions of the religions, however, the earth human being in the main is able to deploy many powers that destructively influence all life forms. See, so our thoughts, especially wrong thinking through religions, has a negative effect on everything. It very, very is. The larger the gathering of, well, these destructions are based in the fact that they impair one's age as a result of the erroneous teachings and wrong lifestyles. So the average age lowers. It would be very interesting. I've probably felt these unhealthy vibes before in certain churches and places where people gather like that. The larger the gathering of human beings are, such as in cities, the lower the average age falls. Because exactly at such places, immeasurable thought energies in terms of wrong lifestyles are released and consciously and unconsciously penetrate into fellow human beings. So protect your thoughts. Be in places that you get good thoughts. You have good, positive, healthy thoughts from. And be a little sensitive. If you're getting a sense of negativity and chaos and unhealthiness, stay away from that place, if at all possible. I'll read this again. I think this is worth looking at again. The larger the gatherings of human beings are, such as in cities, the lower the average age falls, because exactly at such places, immeasurable thought energies in terms of wrong lifestyles are released and unconsciously penetrate into fellow human beings. But also animals and many materials are impaired by these destructive forces of human irrationality, and thus are left to early destruction. Like iron, for example, which normally never rusts as quickly as is currently the case on Earth. So I can't even wrap my mind around the power of our thoughts. It's just astonishing. You can negatively affect your own life force. You can negatively affect the life force of others. Your wrong thinking causes metal to rust. It's crazy. Another thing Since we've started talking about life force and the creational natural laws and following these laws like love and striving and the law of harmony and system and order, they enhance your life force. All of this is right thinking. Well, there are some things that we've done as a society, like the false peace symbol, which is upside down. That may negatively affect the life force. Another very interesting thing in terms of the life force is the importance of light. And light, in Contact Report 216, it talks about light penetrating deeply into the ground even. Contact Report 216, line 163. Without these light vibrations that penetrate very deeply into the earth, the underground plants, as we call them, couldn't prosper and couldn't exist. So the beautiful sunshine not only affects us on the surface, but things that are underneath the surface. And, you know, when you're out in the sun, I can feel these deeply penetrating light vibrations. They go, like, right into your chest. Oh, it feels so good. And it feels like your life power is enhanced. And I don't know if you've ever experienced where, you know, you're thinking a lot of negative thoughts. It seems like it takes away from your life force, too. You can kind of, you feel weaker, you're disturbed. Sometimes just sitting down and preparing for this program seems to enhance my life force. It's quite an interesting thing. Contract Report 216, line 173. If a person, and this is also true for animals, is lacking the absolutely essential light, then very negative disturbances and changes also occur in the hormonal balance, by what means in turn that the immune system is strongly impaired in its strength and function. So make sure your pets get as much light as possible, because they need it as much as you do. Fecal Bulletin 78, our spirit form is called our indestructible inner life power. It's a fragment of the universal consciousness. The universal consciousness is called a Wesenheit. It has no personality. I say it's life determined. It's volition, it's life determination. It's so dedicated to the creational natural laws that it doesn't really have the crazy free will that the human being does. It has the personality that'll just, you know, violate the creational natural laws just because he may be getting some stimulation from it. He may throw caution to the wind. He may blow off his schedule completely. He may stop his striving. But it all catches you in the end. You cannot escape the creational natural laws. Now, the universal consciousness is like a juggernaut. It just never stops. It's always, always, always striving for these, you know, following these creational natural laws for trillions of years. And the universe has been expanding for 46 trillion years. Now that's a time frame that we can't even wrap our mind around, you know. Our spirit form is called our indestructible inner life power. The spirit of the human being is more or less his or her high, fine, fluidal energy source. His or her indestructible inner life power. This is the Lebenskraft. Only the human being has a conscious evolution capable. Only the human being can evolve his consciousness. The animals evolve, and they even involve their intelligence, but we have a higher kind of evolution called evolving the consciousness, and I'm sure they'll have plenty more to learn about that. Anywhere, time is up already. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.